Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Oi! It's Boston Robert opening up another episode of the Andrew Tite Podcast.
Wow, that was incredible. I think I'm going to try my American accent now. I hope that's not offensive to anybody. I'm Robert Evans. This is the first only Boston-based podcast behind the Bastards.
That was so
more
bad.
Like behind the Masters. Like
I'm like crying.
Like Massachusetts.
So it somehow keeps getting worse.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was pretty good.
I would be more offended if I actually liked Boston, which I don't. So,
yeah.
But oh my God, it's so bad that I started to fit, my whole face is red and I've teared up.
No, you see, a lot of the times we ignore the Reddit when we disagree with it. But today the subreddit's filled with Bostonians saying my accent is perfect. So I have decided to take that as a mandate to continue speaking in a Boston accent. Well, everybody, this is Behind the Bastards. It's a podcast. Bad people tell you all about it.
Whoa. I have a Jamie Loftus text that says, Butch, Jack, Tommy, they're on their way. Throw Deadpool DVDs at you like throwing stars if you do not stop the Boston accent.
Well, you know, Jamie is not really from Boston because she's from Harvard.
And, she's from Brockton.
Brockton. Yeah, we don't consider that Baston where I'm from, which is, I don't know the parts of Boston. Look, this joke was always going to run into the limitation of me not knowing anything about Boston.
Yeah.
The Liberty Bell? I'm from the Liberty Bell. Yeah. So, yeah, that's as Boston as it gets.
Oh, my God.
They have a really shitty basketball team.
I've heard that about Boston from Bostonians.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Behind the Bastards. We are veering into part three of our epic podcast on Andrew Tate that I and all of you were cruelly forced to make because he very suddenly became extremely relevant. And all of our accents, all of our crosstalk is an attempt to distract ourselves from the fact that we unfortunately have to learn a lot more about Andrew Tate. And Sophie, Ian, I know I'm about to force a terrible, terrible quantity of Andrew Tate videos on you.
Oh, yeah, Ian's here. Hi, Ian Johnson, our editor.
Hi, Ian Johnson, our editor.
Hey, champion, guys.
Sweet prince.
Kickboxing champion of the world.
I'm just mentally preparing myself for a bunch of horrific Andrew Tate TikTok videos. So let's do it.
Not to mention one half of the DJ group Gladiator with our very own DJ Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we have the full Gladiator on staff, which is my favorite thing to brag about.
Yeah, all of these things are true. And what's also true is that I have watched hours of Andrew Tate. The people who live with me have been miserable because while I'm cleaning the house, I've just been putting on his 8-hour long videos where he tells people how to hustle.
My condolences.
Yeah, I have broken my brain, and now it's time for everyone else to suffer, which could be the tagline of this show, honestly. Let's roll into it.
Don't do that to people.
All of our money comes from doing that to
headphones.
People. I am wearing headphones now.
No, when you're listening to 8 hours of Andrew Tate.
No, see, I mean, the whole reason this podcast works and the whole reason that I enjoy doing it is getting to make other people miserable after making myself miserable. So if I were just hiding all of the Andrew Tate and experiencing it solo, I wouldn't enjoy it as much as like when one of my friends comes home from a long day of like teaching children at a public school and sees Andrew Tate talking about child labor on the screen of my TV. And that's just the thing that assaults them as they attempt to de-stress from their day. I think that's beautiful, Sophie.
I guess I know who I owe apologies to on your behalf.
Oh, everyone, Sophie. So let's get back into it. When we left off, their Andrew and Tristan Tate's webcam sex business, which was essentially just sex trafficking, had taken off. They had started making a lot of money, and they had been forced to flee the United Kingdom after committing a series of sex crimes. So they are in Romania now. Andrew Tate he's pretty open about this because after this point, he starts to get a lot more active on social media, particularly Instagram. And when he's doing these kind of like videos with his fans where he talks about how he got rich and how to get rich, he'll talk about why he moved to Romania. And his explanation is their sex crime laws are a lot looser there. It's a lot harder to get prosecuted because the government is more corrupt. And while I'm not a rapist, I wanted to go to a place with more freedom to commit sex crimes, which is something a rapist would say, and is in fact something a rapist did say. So he was never particularly good at hiding it. And spoilers, it may prove to be a bad idea to taunt the government of the country that you've moved to by calling them corrupt and saying they don't prosecute sex crimes, because Romania does actually have serious problems with sex trafficking, but it turns out a great way to get a government to take a problem seriously is to taunt them and say that they don't care about that problem when you become incredibly famous for committing crimes. It's going to be good.
Not to be advised.
But that's a few years in the future, because for quite a while this happens. He moves around 2015 or so. And for years, he's very successful there. And he's Instagramming as he starts to buy these supercars, as he starts, you know, hitting the wealth level that he can fly in private jets. He's putting all of these videos out. He's engaging in stunts designed to draw attention, like promising to pay fans $10,000 if they show him a good night out partying.
So as, just to be clear, all this money is from the website that him and his brother are running, right?
That's where it starts coming in from. As we'll get into, and to be honest, I'm not going to be able to give anyone a cohesive answer as to actually where all his money comes from, because he is a criminal. But we know a lot is coming in from the cam business at this point. Okay. Enough that he's like, yeah, promising to pay people 10 grand if they show him a good night out partying. And the catch is he's going to like Instagram beating them up if they don't show him a good time. One fan took him up on this, and the video's been scrubbed from the internet. But at the end of it, Tate's like, I had a bad time. Now you have to fight me. And this dude clearly doesn't want to fight him. And is at one point like, here, I have to take my watch off. And so like Andrew looks away and then he just bolts and runs. It's like a beat from a fucking Judd Apatow movie.
That's amazing.
And it works incredibly well on Andrew Tate, because he is, we're about to get into some of the smarter stuff he did, but he's not nearly as smart as he thinks he is. So that's fun. 2014, I think, is the year that the Tate brothers actually became millionaires. I found a compilation of Instagram footage from that time and a YouTube channel called The Tate Pill. I know.
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Let me breathe in your sorrow, Sophie. That fuels me. Nom, 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 nom.
I miss the Boston accent. I do.
Yeah, see? That was the plan all along, get you to miss the Boston. This Instagram footage of his like first year as a millionaire, it's all shots of him driving expensive supercars, of the brothers partying, of piles of cash inside of vehicles, and like there's a lot of videos of piles of cash, of women like cleaning for him. He's also really obsessed with showing like servants cleaning up for him while he does his videos. But Tate's overall image, the way he presents himself, is quite different at this point. In one shot, we see him with a bunch of young women outside of a hotel or something. He's got a full head of hair, and he's wearing like a pink polo shirt and shorts. He looks like a frat brother, which is not the look that he goes for. He's kind of going for more of like a sex criminal James Bond, which also you might just call like regular James Bond if he went shirtless more often, and his kind of modern shit. But he's definitely just kind of, he's kind of basic still at this point. Yeah, which I found kind of interesting. And another shot from this compilation of photos and footage, which I took from a channel called The Tate Pill. We see a young woman with Tate's girl written across her chest in Sharpie. Later on, there's a woman with Tate's written on her as like a tattoo. This is a thing that you should keep in mind because it's going to be relevant later. And Sophie, I put a picture in there of the lady with Tate's girl written.
Oh yeah, right in between. I was hoping her tits. I wouldn't have to show it to Ian, but here.
No. Let him see. Let him take this in.
All right, I'm ready.
Yeah. You got that, Ian? You feeling good?
Ian, I was hoping he wouldn't make me show this to you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. No, that feels bad, but okay. Let's keep going.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That feels bad. You don't say.
Oh, no.
This whole thing is just giving me, like, Dan Blazarian vibes. I feel like he, like, saw a bunch of Dan Blazarian videos on the internet and was like, I want that. And then he just, like, started doing it. Are you familiar with Dan Blazarian?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Dan Blazarian, who was, like, this big right-wing muscle gun influencer until he was present at that mass shooting in Vegas and ran away rather than rendering aid to any of the injured people. Yes.
Yeah, that guy.
Dan Blazarian. Great guy. Yeah, I mean, I think the difference is that Tate would never have had a problem with running away from a mass shooting because a big part of his brand is you should only look out for yourself and fuck everybody else. He would not have had trouble handling that situation. Now, that video compilation of Tate and his brother when they first become millionaires is like thousands of video compilations of the Tates that litter the internet. And watching those compilations, because he's been deplatformed so much, is basically the only way to consume a lot of Tate's content. And if you, you know, want to consume a lot of Tate content for some reason. He's been deplatformed from most places. We actually just lost a video where you're going to play in here. So the easiest way to find old episodes of Tate speech or various interviews is compilation videos like the one I found of pictures of him when he was first got his millions. That's something to keep in mind because it's going to be more relevant later. It's evidence of the kind of strategy that he actually used to get as famous as he is. But first, we need to get into more of his backstory. So in 2016, Mr. Tate became a contestant on Big Brother, the UK reality show. Well, I guess the UK version of Big Brother, right? I think there's a bunch of versions of it. I don't know. Yeah. I've never watched Big Brother. But he was on the UK version of it. And I don't understand the rules of the show, but he came in as an other housemate, which means he had to get voted to housemate status or some shit. He had to basically like socially engineer his way to being able to stay on the show. And so he made a big deal about being a strategizer and how he had this like elaborate strategic plan to get on the house. But before whatever plan that was came to fruition, footage leaked of him whipping a woman.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those ones that I'm a little like unsure of, because I've seen the footage and like it's unpleasant. He claims that it is was a consensual kinky sex act, and so does the woman that he was whipping. And just based on the video, that might be true of this specific video. Again, we know he's been physically abusive. There's a lot of evidence of that. We know that he's committed rape. This specific video may actually have been a kink thing, which is why I'm not playing it, because I don't think that kind of thing should be played. So instead, let's watch a little clip of Andrew Tate on Big Brother. I think that's going to give people a little bit better of a context of this guy and how he was presenting himself in 2016. Sophie, I've just put the link into the chat. Yeah, we're gonna this will be a good time for everybody and much more pleasant than that video, regardless of what the truth is of the video.
Andrew Tate, I'm 29 years old, and I'm a 4-time kickboxing world champion. I see myself as smarter than average. I was a chess champion from a very young age, from the age of 3. My biggest tool is that I'm not afraid of anything. I don't need the money. I don't want to be famous. I don't want any of that. So I'm going to be the most emotionally controlled person in the house.
This is Big Brother. Time is up. Andrew, yeah. Confirm the character trait you have all chosen and targeted, and explain your reasons.
We've chosen sexy because we're assuming the person who describes themselves as sexy is an idiot and not an easy choice.
No.
Because people are lazy, we're going to look sexy.
Okay, their clothes
you can tell if someone's sexy.
Yeah, but it might actually...
We've chosen because it'd be an easy choice.
But... So, that's Andrew Tate.
He's insufferable.
Yeah, I mean, you see what he's kind of going for there is like, I'm the most emotionally controlled. You can't like affect me. He's doing kind of a version of the thing he's going to be doing. But obviously he gets kicked off the show very quickly. I think he's on it for literally like a week. The claim is that he's kicked off the show because this video of him whipping this woman gets leaked out, right? And that, like, that's why they kick him off. There's debate about this within the Big Brother fandom. I went through the Big Brother fandom wiki because I wanted to see how are the bro stans responding to Andrew Tate? How do they feel about him? And they note this, quote, Andrew himself and many other fans believe that is an incorrect reason as to why he was ejected. Andrew believes he was removed as a result after unaired altercations with other housemates. Got very heated, and due to Andrew's fighting background, Big Brother feared violent repercussions due to this and ejected him from the house. And it's interesting that he would admit that because he's basically saying they thought I was too violent and dangerous and didn't want me to hurt somebody and get the show in trouble, so they kicked me off, which I actually think might be possible. I am going to say Andrew may not be incorrect there, because if I'm Big Brother and I see the way this guy interacts with people and his background, I might be like, we may want to get this motherfucker off the show. He seems like a violent psychopath.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's also very likely that they just saw that sketchy video and were like, we don't need this. Big Brother doesn't need this PR.
Right.
Before
he went on the show, was he already kind of starting to become famous a little bit, or was this kind of like a jumping off point for bigger fame?
I certainly wouldn't call him famous. He was, you know, a semi-prominent within the UK, semi-prominent fighting sports star. He'd done a little bit of MMA too. And he was a semi-prominent he had like, you know, I think in the tens of thousands, maybe even like a couple of 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Okay.
So he's not a nobody, but he's not a celebrity, right? Like he's the level of celebrity that you pick to be on a Big Brother show, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as with so many claims about this guy, obviously, like, I'm not going to say that the Big Brother wiki fandom wiki is a great source, but I did read through it, and I think it's worth reading to you the biography that the Big Brother fandom wiki gives for Tate, because I believe it's accurate to the kind of stuff that Tate bragged about in his Big Brother appearance.
I read ahead.
Here's his biography. Andrew is a member of Mensa.
See, that's Andrew the same red flag as the Iowa Writers Workshop, which I was fucking right about. Thank you, everybody who mentioned, look, who messaged
yeah,
us.
Yeah, people did.
That is a red motherfucking flag.
Folks who are not on the social media should note that people pointed out the Iowa Writers Workshop was apparently started by the CIA, which is very funny in terms of Sophie being right about it being shady. Although I will say Robert Bly does not seem to have taken to the CIA's propaganda
that
line,
you know,
he was
about
deeply anti-war. But I guess, yeah, I guess we'll see. Whatever. Feel about that however you want. Very
Andrew's
funny
a
still.
Member of Mensa. Let's go back to that.
That is more of a red flag
that is
than
hilarious.
The CIA writing program. I'm just going to say that right now.
Oh, God.
Text Jamie about this.
Yeah.
Does Jamie know that Andrew Tate was in Mensa?
I will text her right now.
Okay.
Oh, can't wait to hear.
I'm going to continue Andrew's bio from the Big Brother wiki. Andrew is a four-time world kickboxing champion. His brother, who Andrew claims is his only true friend, trains him. What a sad sentence. Andrew believes that a man should be able to sleep with as many women as he wants, but that does not apply to women. So that's basically what you'd expect from Mr. Tate, right?
Yeah, that sounds like a perfect encapsulation of yeah. Andrew Tate.
What an incredible guy. So the year after his Big Brother failure, Donald Trump, you guys might have heard of this, becomes president of the United States.
Yeah,
and suddenly you got fascists in the streets. You got the alt-right suddenly being a term in everybody's lexicon. And you've got this galaxy of right-wing and explicitly fascist media influencers just blowing the fuck up on social media. Andrew and Tristan saw this happening and they were like, this is how we get huge, right? This is a perfect place for us to just kind of nest like one of those wasps that lays their eggs in your eyes and then burst out. So they decide to be the wasps in, let's say, Alex Jones's eye. They start to experiment. Social media posts bragging about their luxurious lifestyle had helped, but that kind of stuff is a dime a dozen. Now, Andrew is unfortunately not a dumb man, and so he observed the success of guys like Mike Cernovich, Alex Jones, Paul Joseph Watson, and he recognized that they were all using variations of the same tactic. They would post something deliberately inflammatory on social media or on their own shows. They'd have some sort of guest like David Icke talk about lizard people, or they would go on this rant, or they'd just do something super racist, and that would generate outrage. And all of these liberal and centrist and left-wing journalists would cover the horrifying thing that they'd said on social media, which would elevate their profile and give them free advertising.
What platforms are they using at this time?
He is using primarily Instagram, and he's going to get increasingly big on TikTok. He's one of the right-wing influencers who's probably best at TikTok. He also, though, he put stuff on YouTube until he gets banned from YouTube. He has like a long kind of video blog podcast, and that's kind of where he's starting.
It's very interesting, the similarities to like Steve Bannon using video mm-hmm. game and just message.
I was
board
literally
stuff.
Just thinking about that. Yeah.
And this is very conscious, right? Like he's and this is where Andrew Tate is smart, right? Because intelligence is not a broad concept. It's a narrow thing. And he's very intelligent when it comes to how to build a right-wing brand online. He watches what everyone is doing and he takes the stuff that works best. And he's going to become very good at this. But you know who's even better at this?
The products and services that sponsor this podcast?
They have, you should see their right wing Instagram page. It is
Robert
offensive. What?
You say that, but most of our ads are programmatic and we have no idea what they are. So that could be very accurate.
I'm excited for the gold company to come back, everybody.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Buy some motherfucking gold. The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Constantly changing challenges like money sprees or treasure hunts that keep it fresh with new wild mini-games. Timed events offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums, delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches, unique playing pieces, and so much more. The verdict is in with Monopoly Go. There's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now for free on the App Store and Google Play. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless, when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/behind. That's mintmobile.com/behind. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/behind. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
We are back. Sophie's letting us know that Jamie Loftus, who did a podcast on Mensa, just got the news that Andrew Tate is a Mensite.
I mean, Sophie, it just really tracks.
How'd she respond?
All caps, LOL, no way.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Perfect reply.
Happy to have supplied her with this information. Yeah, so Andrew starts upping his appearances on social media. He starts integrating himself into this right-wing ecosystem, throwing out offensive shit and just kind of using that to build his profile, to get him invites to be on other people's shows. And I'm going to quote from The Guardian here to talk about his rise to prominence. In September of 2017, he was criticized by mental health charities for saying depression isn't real. The next month, he waded in on Me Too, saying women should bear some responsibility for being raped, a view he has since repeated and which, among other incidents, led to him being barred from Twitter. The backlash won Tate work and boosted his profile. He appeared on InfoWars, the podcast of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, was pictured with far-right YouTuber Paul Joseph Watson, and met Donald Trump Jr. at Trump Tower, posting on Facebook afterwards, "The Tate family support Trump fully. MAGA."
Cool. In the 2019, trifecta from hell. You got,
yeah,
he's done it all.
He's checking all the asshole boxes.
Yeah, he's tic-tac-toed his way through the very worst people in our society.
Jesus Christ.
In 2019, police were called after Tate showed up at the house of Mike Stuckberry, a journalist who had been critical about him online. Days after Yaxley Lennon, that's Tommy Robinson, who he did an episode on, did the same thing. The incident caused Stuckberry's wife to suffer a panic attack and played a role in them leaving the UK for Germany. So both, that's gross physical intimidation of a guy who's criticized him, but also he's just doing the same thing Tommy Robinson did. So you can see at this point, he's not a figure in his own right yet. When you are copying Tommy fucking Robinson, you have not yet ascended, right? That is one of the sadder right-wing grifters to be following in the footsteps of. So he's working on it, but he hasn't yet blown his way kind of out of the pack. All of this controversy, all of these appearances on right-wing talk shows and podcasts did successfully elevate Tate's profile, and he started funneling his new fans towards his new business, one with a wider appeal than webcam prostitution. He began offering a series of classes to his followers. Initially, this was sleazy pickup artist shit, classes on how to get women. The market for that is very crowded, though. Here's how Tate attempted to set himself apart from the pickup artist community, from the promotional material I found for his now defunct PhD program.
Fuck up. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
God,
it stands for something gross. I forgot.
Creep.
But I'm going to read you the ad copy that he wrote for this fucking thing. Andrew Tate is world champion kickboxer who owns and operates strip clubs and webcam studios. With over 75 girls working for him, he has created a system that allows you to get girls quickly, easily, and without spending money. Unlike other pickup artists who have the odd girl here and there, Tate has top quality, that's in caps, women living with him and making him money full time. This makes him more qualified than any other coach on the internet. Do you want to learn how to get the odd girl from a pickup artist, or learn how to build an army of women who are so loyal to you that they allow you to have as many girls as you want? More importantly, he has a foolproof system for retaining women, having them do as you say, and respecting you without taking up or wasting large amounts of your time. As Tate said, "I don't want a 10 unless she does everything I say. It's obedience and loyalty that turns me on more than looks."
Whether you're looking to get girls, simply have your girlfriend obey every command and be fiercely loyal, or learn how to live with three or four girlfriends at once, as Tate does, this is the course for you.
So
there you go, guys.
So do we think Hitch was his favorite movie?
Sophie, I don't think you're allowed to make references to Hitch. Nobody's seen Hitch.
Ian, have you seen Hitch with Will Smith?
I have seen Hitch. It's a fun little movie.
I don't think Hitch is that toxic.
Oh, that was, bring it back. That entire thing was disgusting, Robert. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful. When I found that, I did a little chef's kiss. Like I was cooking up some spaghetti. It was good. Now, a big part of Tate's branding, and this is the same thing, when you're an influencer, right, if you're trying to build like a cultishly loyal following, you have to use cult techniques. And that means creating words that were not in use before you started using them, or at least repurposing words in ways that other people don't use them, and getting your fans to talk that way. And one of the things, Tate knew this, and Tate also, he had paid attention to guys. Again, think back to our other cult leaders. We've got guys like Keith Raniere, who was called Vanguard. We've got L. Ron Hubbard, who was the Commodore. I forget what Werner Erhard went by, but we just did his episodes. And for Tate, the kind of name that he had his fans call him is Top G. And you will see this in a shitload of Zoomer TikTok videos. I want to play first a video for you of him talking to his brother about what Top G means.
And this is from the Tate Pill YouTube channel,
the only YouTube channel that I visit.
Yeah, Top G and Tate Pill, all those names make me want to cry.
It's good stuff, Sophie.
Here's the clip.
Top G. Everyone says Top G. Kids are now wearing t-shirts with Top G on it. I want to be a Top G. I want to be the Top G. You've basically trademarked it. So what do you mean by Top G?
Top G is an individual who is capable in all realms, as my father said. Sheer indefatigability and unmatched perspicacity made him a feared opponent in all realms of human endeavor. When you are Top G, you are dangerous at everything. That's why I'm Top G. If they were to say to you, you have to go on a racetrack and race Tate in supercars, you'd be like, shit, I can race Tate. You have to go in the boxing ring and fight Tate. Shit, I have to fight Tate. You have to go debate Tate. Shit, I have to debate Tate. You have to go try and get a girl, and Tate's also trying to get the girl. Shit, I have to go against Tate. Shit, it doesn't matter what the competition is. As soon as they say my name, you're going to be like, oh, for fuck's sake. My unmatched perspicacity, my ability to perceive, my sheer indefatigability, the fact that I never get tired. You add all this together, I am a feared opponent in any realm of human endeavor. Even things I don't yet know how to do, you do not want to compete with me in those things. That is why I am.
So, off, it feels like he wasn't as good at chess as he says, because his dad had to kick him out of a contest for crying too much. Just do keep that in mind as he makes these claims. Now, I don't believe that Andrew Tate is a competition race car driver, because he has never done that. And also, and by the way, because he makes claims like this, I went to like race car Twitter to see what they said about him.
Yeah. What's the vibe?
Had a lot of weird, you'll run into people making these weird niche criticisms about his supercars and how they're not the right kind
what
of supercars
makes it
to
a fucking
buy.
Supercar?
Expensive car that goes fast.
Okay. Look,
and if you're a supercar nerd and disagree, you can go to hell, because I enjoyed reading and found it like enlightening reading the chess and the kickboxing subreddits. The supercar people are insufferable, even the ones that don't like Andrew Tate. So I do
love that. That's Robert's line.
Yeah, that's where he draws the line. It's like, yeah, the supercars just really were too much.
Well, because they were like, well, no, you want this supercar, not that one. I would never. And I was like, you don't like.
None of you own any of these cars.
I'm sorry. I don't. You people, I don't believe.
Oh, God. I can just imagine these supercar fuckers like Tinder profiles. They're so horrible. Their car is there. You know the car is in the picture.
Yeah, I simply don't care what you have to say about his supercars. But what I do care about is the fact that, as silly as that all is, the Top G shit worked. And as evidence for this, I have just sent another link to the chat. This is a protest in Athens, Greece, where what appears to be visually several thousand adult men and a number of men who or boys marching through the streets of Athens. And I want Sophie, I want you to just play what they're chanting.
Oh, yeah.
This was after this was I right after his arrest.
Yeah, I know what this is. I'm sad.
And that is like, it's not a I'll say this, that's not like a tiny flash mob. There's a lot of fucking dudes in the street.
There's a lot of people.
There is a distressing number of men in the street.
There's a distressing number of men in the streets. That's in Greece.
It is not great. So this works very well. Tate was very successful. And again, we've already covered the degree to which he's exaggerating and outright lying about his competence. But he's successful at pushing a persona of himself as hyper-competent and irresistible to women. As we've already covered, a lot of what he says is objectively untrue. His kickboxing record was cooked. His businesses are mostly cheap scams or outright criminal enterprises. We'll get into that more in a second. But it's worth digging into first the reality behind the Andrew Tate method of picking up women. In the wake of Tate's arrest, a brave 19-year-old Romanian woman named Daria Gusa reached out to BuzzFeed. She told them and provided evidence that in 2020, when she was 16, Andrew Tate slid into her DMs on Instagram with a message that read, "Romanian girl, strawberry emoji," which I think is a sex thing, the strawberry emoji. I don't know. I don't know what you kids use. When
there's
Tate messaged
strawberry
her,
emoji. All right, carry on.
On the gram, yes, Sophie. Geez, get with the kids. Get with the times. When Tate messaged her, her Instagram bio had the name of her fancy private school, and she told BuzzFeed that a number of other girls in her class had been messaged by Tate around the same time in the same way. So it seems like he was looking for basically just like filtering his responses from girls in this private school who were like 16 and then messaging a bunch of them at once. Daria did not respond, but some of her friends did, and Tate complimented them, telling them how beautiful they were. He bragged about his wealth and he offered to take them to expensive restaurants. After a short back and forth, he would every time try to meet up with the girls, be like, "Hey, we should meet up right now. Where are you? I'll come pick you up. We can go out and eat." And I'm going to quote from BuzzFeed next. "None of her friends went ahead with meeting with him," she said, and once Tate realized they weren't going to, he started to insult them. The second that girls stopped replying to him, he starts getting a bit verbally abusive, calling them ugly and stuff right like that, just to get the reaction out of them and keep engaging with them, Gusa said. And that's, I think, useful to go over, because that's normal shitty guy on the internet stuff. That is, there's a billion guys doing that. There's nothing special about him. He doesn't have some sort of secret. He's not irresistible. He's just doing the same thing that, like, there's like there's a whole bunch of Twitter accounts that like semi-professionally post like screen grabs of guys sliding into women's DMs all around the world doing that exact thing. Like, there's nothing about his method that is special or rare. He just practices it exclusively on children. And you know what he's doing is he's I'm sure shotgunning out these requests to so many people that statistically, just like with like a, you know,
yeah, it's just
Nigerian,
like a numbers game.
Exactly. It's like one of those like email scams, right? Some number of people are going to like respond. It'll work on some number of people, and that's all he cares about, right?
Yeah.
And I do think that's important, because when it comes to actual pickup artistry or whatever you want to call it, Andrew Tate is no different than every other frustrated adult male piece of shit looking to flirt with little kids.
Yeah, you're not special. Motherfucker, you're just like every other creep.
Yeah, exactly. He is just like every other creep behind the curtain. Now, none of this, though, is public during the rise of Andrew Tate's social media profile or his main online business, which would become Hustlers University. That's what he calls series of classes and training programs that he starts to launch. And it's the kind of thing, like, he is undeniably good at getting people, and it's mostly the people who mostly believe this image he's crafted are children, right? They are also children. They're male children. All of his victims, the girls that he's flirting with are mostly children or extremely young adults, and the
people without
trying,
fully formed brains.
Who
can't do critical thinking or make like big decisions like fully yet. Yeah,
exactly. And the of people course. He's trying to get money from are like boys from like, I'm going to say age 12 to 20. And, That's who this shit works on. Now, I found an 8-hour class from Hustlers University up on YouTube, which is just part one of his
you
the
watch
class
it?
That he
is
was
that
offering.
What you were watching around the house?
I sure did. For 8 hours. I sure did. Oh, gosh. There are, you can find a lot of these have been uploaded since his arrest, and there's like 100 of them.
Were
there's
you like
so,
doing
so
like
so many hours
were you
of this
like
shit.
Doing house chores and then yeah. blasting this?
I'm sweeping, I'm cleaning, you know, I'm standing naked doing planks on my in my living room floor. Normal stuff.
Not your living room floor.
Oh yeah, that's the only place I do it. So yeah, I felt like I had to watch through these because Tate claims at the start that these do contain his entire understanding of business and how to make money. I figured watching it would give me some insight into the soul of the man himself, and boy, howdy, did it ever.
Oh, God.
So we're going to go into that in a little bit. But first, you know what we're going to go into?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Is it an ad break? Is it an ad break?
It sure is an ad break. It's some products, some services, the odd product and service. We're going to go into that. I'm going to do my hustle before we introduce you all to Hustlers University.
Oh, Robert, that was despicable.
Yeah, well... Welcome to the potty, pal.
The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Constantly changing challenges like money sprees or treasure hunts that keep it fresh with new wild mini-games. Timed events offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums, delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches, unique playing pieces, and so much more. The verdict is in with Monopoly Go. There's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now for free on the App Store and Google Play.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We are back.
Back, so, back again.
Hustlers University starts out pretty boring. He gives his definition of a business, which is a thing that money goes into, right? That's the only thing a business is. So
thanks for explaining that, Andrew. Because I had no idea before. Okay.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, it's interesting because since a business is only something money goes into, if you are putting money into startup costs, if you're putting money into R&D, if you're paying for things like PR, that is all a waste of time, right? Because that's spending money. A business only takes money in. Now, you may be saying, well, but you have to spend money to make money. That's like a thing everybody knows about business. That's just the way that it works, right? Yeah. Andrew says no. And in order to explain what a fool you are, he gives an example of a good business that he had an idea for. And this first example of a good business is starting a website to sell makeup online. Now, he says he's adamant that, like, you don't need to have any makeup. You don't need to have a product. All you do is you make a website selling makeup, and then you wait for a bunch of people to buy the makeup. And then you figure out where to get makeup with the money that they've spent on makeup that you didn't have before, and then you send it to them. Sounds like that's genius brain level business stuff. Start a fraudulent makeup business and then buy makeup once you start getting money. I don't think that would work. In part because there's a lot of makeup that's a real company out there that people can buy from.
There's a lot of other options to actually get makeup.
So yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people have that question. How are you supposed to actually get cash flow started without investing, without having something to make people want to buy your makeup? And Tate has an answer for you, and that answer is child labor. So I'm going to play a clip from you. And as an aside, during this clip, when you hear him tell someone to wipe down his whiteboard, it's some random cam worker in his home. It's a young woman who like lives with him that he has doing minor chores in the background. This is a thing that he does in all of his videos.
Family and friends are actually the best staff you can possibly get. Now, people say don't mix friends with business, don't mix family with business. Can you clean my board? Sit here and wipe it, please. Don't mix friends with business. Get that shit off. Don't mix friends with business, don't mix family with business. That's a lie. So the reason people say this is because people are dickheads and they can't get along with anyone. They can't get along with anybody long enough to make any money. But I guarantee you have family members right this second who could make you money. I guarantee you, you have a 15-year-old niece, nephew, cousin, brother, whoever, who knows more about computers than you do. I guarantee there's a 15-year-old out there with nothing better to do who knows more about Photoshop than you do right now. His stupid ass needs a job. So you can start a company right now.
Yeah, so that seems good, right? That's a solid business idea. Oh, have young relatives and trick them into working for you. absolutely genius, Andrew. You are the finest business mind of our generation. Now he follows this up with his next incredible piece of corporate advice, which I think might be of interest to some prosecutors in Romania. And I'm going to have Sophie play that one next.
Don't get legal before you get rich. This is super important. We're talking about hustling here. I'm telling you the hacks to becoming rich. Do not get legal before you are rich. You can fix your legal bullshit when you've already made money. It's a shame I've erased my beautiful makeup diagram, but it's very similar to what we were saying earlier. I know so
his
many people.
His fucking 99-cent store whiteboard.
Registered for VAT, registered with the tax man, already have an accountant, and haven't made any money yet. I, in most of my companies, will make $1 million before I'll even consider fucking around with a tax form, talking to an accountant, or registering any fucking companies. All that shit is on the later base until you have proved the viability of your company and you have money coming in. When you're rich and you have money in the bank, then worry about that stuff. Do not waste your time, energy, and money doing all that legal crap before you know anything about whether your business is going
to
work or not.
He's telling people don't to do crime. That's a crime.
It's
kind of business advice.
It's a time sink. If every time I had to start a company or an idea, I had to go register a company, get an accountant, do tax forms, do VAT forms, what a waste of time. I've started maybe 100 companies in my life. 20 of them made money. You're telling me 80 times I would have had to fuck around? Don't do that. I know so many people who have a company legally, but don't have a company in reality because it exists as a legal entity, but it does not provide cash. A company provides cash. If you're a street drug dealer, you own a company. Much more than the guy with all the legal entities which ain't making money. We're hustlers here. This is the Hustlers University. Do not confuse this. Money in. What's the lessons I've been teaching you? Money in. Where's the money in?
Pointing at the empty whiteboard.
God. There's nothing written on it.
There's nothing. Oh, my God.
Oh. Yeah, so because this is an audio medium, he is like pointing and circling things on an empty whiteboard because he's forgotten that he had one of his cam workers erase everything on it. Obviously, this is terrible advice, in part because if you start a business that doesn't make a profit and you did not do any of the legal things you needed to do, there's a good chance that at some point the tax man will come and say, hey, you didn't do all this shit you needed to do. And we know that, you know, now you owe us a shitload of money. And because your business failed, you owe even more because you broke a bunch of laws. That's one thing that is concerning about the advice that he's giving. Although anyone who's going to start companies using the Andrew Tate advice probably deserves to be in trouble with the IRS or whoever. So I'm not going to complain too much about it. But also, I kind of hope someone in Romania is aware of these videos, because I suspect Andrew Tate did not dot the I's or cross the T's necessary to make all of his shady businesses legal in that country. He was operating casinos and strip clubs in the country once he got rich, like actual ones, not just cam ones. So I kind of think there's a decent chance he will wind up getting extra charges as a result of not legally operating any of his businesses. Fun thing to brag about, Andrew. So the next point he makes in this video of really just irreplaceable financial advice is use what you've got. And this is where Andrew actually gives us some context on how he started his cam business and why. But first, we get a little bit more child labor advocacy.
I just gave you the example of the 15-year-old cousin who can make websites. Now you own a website company. Or your 15-year-old cousin who can do, I don't know, fucking who knows what he can do. He can mow lawns. Every 15-year-old can mow lawns. Now you have a lawn mowing business. Bang. Tell his stupid ass to go deliver some flyers. Drive him around in your car. Play some Tupac. Chill out in your car. Text some bitches. Drive at 5 miles an hour. Let him drop off all the leaflets. And then let him mow all the lawns. You collect all the money and just pay him a percentage. Bang. You now own a lawn mowing company. Congratulations. Use what you got. I made a lot of money with webcam girls. If you're watching this, you don't know that. Webcam girls. You can go to chatterbait.com. You see girls on there on webcam, getting naked, talking to dudes, taking money. That made me millions and millions of dollars. I came up with that idea by sticking to this principle. Use what you've got. So right now, if you're sitting there.
What are you saying? You have,
and I mean everything.
Oh, wait. You have a house. Just wait.
You have a car. It's on lease. You have physical strength. Let's say you're a strong guy. When I was making my list, I was writing everything down. I was like, well, I've got six girlfriends. So, okay, how can girls make me money? Strip club, but that takes money to set up. Remember? Costs.
Again, nothing on the whiteboard.
I cannot get money in a strip club without a club. So I looked at all the costs for a strip club and realized it's too expensive before I could get money in. It's too big a risk. Remember? It's too much risk. I could lose $300,000-$400,000. Can't risk that. How can I get money in for having hot girls without spending money out? So my first idea was strip club. But I looked at all the costs. I was like, okay, so why do men spend money on girls in strip club? Because the girls are beautiful, they get to look at the girls, see some titties. Da-da. How can I do that without the club? Well, the internet. If I put them on the internet, it's cheap. This is literally how I thought. I stuck to my business principles. Okay, it's cheap. Start looking up, bound, discovered the webcam websites. All right, so I've already got the girls, I've already got a laptop, I've already got the internet. Bang! The day I had the webcam idea, the same day I was making money. I didn't spend any money, but I was making new money because I refused to allow myself to spend. Then I started making new money in with the webcam because I knew I had the internet, I knew I had laptops, I knew I had girls. Use what you've got. Look around you. What people do you have? Does your old mother need a new job? Maybe she's at home and she's bored.
Oh my God.
Maybe she'll mail.
Does your old mother?
Do you have cousins, nieces, nephews? Do you have a girlfriend who has nothing to do? Use what you have.
The most upsetting thing about all of this is, like, you can see how, like, this people can fall for this, or like the how people could be susceptible to this, because obviously he's taking it to a sick, disgusting extreme. But like at the core of it, like, that does make sense on some level. If you have a bunch of, you know, old baseball cards or whatever, you can start selling them at school and make a little extra money. But like, he's taking it to such an extreme level of exploitation and illegality that it's like insane. But I could see how someone who's maybe not as savvy or is really gullible could be influenced or fall for this kind of stuff. And that's what makes people like this so fucking dangerous.
Yeah, and what's going on here, there's two things going on here, right? And this is always the case with him. It's the case with, like, the lies he makes about his background. It's true, he's pretty good at chess. It's true, his dad was very good at chess. It's true that he was a decent kickboxer. And then he kind of uses that core of truth and then wraps a bunch of lies around it in order to make this persona. It is true that a lot of people with small businesses use their families for free labor, right? There's like laws in the United States where kids normally, there's a lot of restrictions on how they can work unless it's like a family owned business, right? If you like own a corner store, you can have your 16-year-old work it, and they're not subject to all of the restrictions that like 7-Eleven would be if they tried to hire a 16-year-old, right? Like there's some differences there. I'm not saying, by the way, that that's good or bad. I'm just, that's the way that it works. This is pretty normalized. What he is saying is like taking that idea and saying, no, no, no. What you should be doing is getting all of these people who are emotionally invested in you and love you and using them as free labor to make yourself rich, right?
Exactly.
Like that's the claim. And what he's doing there is he's taking the logic of a multi-level marketing company. Mm-hmm. All of these like Avon kind of fucking bullshit companies where they, or these different like essential oil companies that we've talked about for years on the show, where like all rely on, hey, your friends need this makeup, your friends need these supplements, your friends need this shitty low quality leggings. And you can make a lot of money getting them to sell and getting them in your upline. And, you know, that's one of the things that's ruined like the social internet. Facebook has become a place where like people you knew 15 years ago get in touch pretending to be your friend and then try to get you to like become a doTERRA representative or some shit. He's using this logic because he knows that it works. But instead of the thing that is obviously shady and that people have kind of more defenses built up around, which is like, hey, try to get your family to like buy into this business. What he's saying is like, no, 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 get them to work for you, you know, offer them like a share of profits or something to, which obviously, you know, and he goes into later detail about how you can fuck them over on that. But he's taking this thing that has been a part of American grift culture for forever, and he's twisting it in a way that is, I think kind of it is new, and this is part of like the thing that he does that's intelligent, but it's also just very transparently awful and evil.
Yeah, and very predatory towards.
Extremely predatory.
Sure. Yeah. Super exploitative.
And speaking of extremely predatory, I wanna dig into the business genius of Andrew Tate here, because it is worth going into kind of the inevitable sort of conclusions you have to make based off of what he's saying. In the example that he's given, that 15-year-old kid has no reason to give you the money that he's making mowing lawns, right? Because he's doing all of the work.
He's doing all the work.
To advertise and to actually mow. You only get your percentage. He does mention earlier, like one of your assets is being strong. The only ways to get a percentage from him are either literally just the threat of violence or gaslighting, making him think that like he's going to make more money than he is and that you won't be making as much money as you are from his labor. And this is true of the cam girls too. His only actual advice boils down to various forms of robbery. And this is particularly clear when he starts talking about the profit-making potential of Uber, which is already exploitative. But Andrew Tate, I'm going to play this next clip to you. This is him talking about how to use Uber in your own business to make money via child labor.
Rent a car. Find a way to rent a car with unlimited mileage per month. Tell him he's going to do 10 hours of Uber a day to train how to drive. Lie to his ass and say that you, in the Uber app, you can track and make sure he ain't breaking the speed limits so he drives safe. Put his ass on Uber, pay for his gas, and give him half the money and keep half for yourself. Bang. Done. Set him up. Get him ready. This is shit. I didn't plan. I'm just telling you things off the top of my head. Because this is how I think as a hustler. I don't need to sit and think. I just know there's money, and I find a way to get the money. That's how I am. So right now, you've got cousins out there who aren't driving Uber. If you can convince them to drive Uber, well, then why don't they do it without you? Easy. You can talk some shit. Make some shit up. Hey, have you got an Uber account? No. I'll set it all up for you because it's complicated and there's some tax. I'll handle the tax. Don't pay no tax. Just lie. Blah, blah, blah. Get them an Uber. Get them in cars. Bang, bang, bang.
So he just assumes everyone around him is stupid. And
right. Stupid and trusting. He assumes that like, hey, your cousins probably trust you. Lie in order to rob them.
So like, so far,
make them work for you for basically nothing and steal the money they make.
He suggested making money off of women he's sex trafficking, old mother was thrown around and literal children.
Yeah, those are his business. Oh, don't forget the makeup company that does not sell makeup.
Right.
He is.
Who could forget?
The finest capitalistic mind of a generation.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it doesn't exist.
Maybe it's not actually makeup. It's so funny that like people talk about how smart this guy is and
he's
like how he's changed.
Smart.
He changed my, we'll get into like why people talk about him changing their lives and all this shit.
Oh,
but
can't
like,
wait for that.
At the end of the day, what he's offering here is like, hey, rob your friends and family. It's the same MLM thing, but he has. And this is, I think, credit seems like a weird way to say it, but it is needful to acknowledge this is an innovation, the way in which he is telling people to rob their friends and family in order to try to get rich. And it won't work for them, most of them. This obviously, I think this is what Tate does. He has his brother work for him and his cousins work for him. If you are the right kind of psychopath, you can make money this way. It's just that even of the people who are interested in Hustlers University, yeah, most of them are not that kind of psychopath. And so they're not going to be successful, or they're just not a smart enough psychopath.
Robert, did you say how much people were paying for this class?
So these were, it changed over time.
Okay.
At first it was like a per class thing. Eventually it's going to change to a monthly fee, and obviously actual sales figures you're never going to get, but Tate makes like in the millions of dollars from
off
this.
Of this.
Off of the version one. And he iterates quickly. By 2021, he ditched the like courses and picking up women and running cam businesses to focus on this new venture. Like this thing that he does, because this is like the early version of Hustlers University, this is the thing that works really well. And so he decides, being intelligent in a very specific way, he decides he's going to spin this into the main business that he's going to do. And he opts to, in 2021, relaunch Hustlers University as Hustlers University 2.0. And we're going to get into that.
What a wonderful and innovative title.
It's mm-hmm. so infuriating because it's like kind of brilliant, like the timing of it, because like 2020, yeah, 2021, a lot of people are out of work or have more mm-hmm. free time that they're
ready
stuck
to
at
hustle,
home, ready mm-hmm. to hustle, make some extra cash on the side. And he's just like preying on that.
It's timing wise specifically, I want to just emphasize on that a lot of kids are home alone. A lot of kids are doing remote learning school and have access to whether that be a computer or an iPad or some kind of digital device, and are home alone without supervision. And you know, the algorithms have brought them to Andrew Tate, and
he got him.
And he's offering them. The other thing that's happening here too, you know, we're talking around this. They're at home.
They're lonely
because of the pandemic. They're lonely. Also, the cost of living is skyrocketing.
Right.
And people, especially in the UK, this is less the case in the US, but in the UK, where he has a lot of his fans, there's like a financial crisis hitting. Right. Like things have not been great for the last year to change over in the United Kingdom, which is why it's so easy to buy things with British pounds right now. Sorry, y'all. It just is at the moment. And so Tate is recognizing that like there's a lot of young kids who are starting to come into the economy and realizing how hard it is to just tread water. And so they're desperate for anything that will give them a hope of getting out of the fucking con game that is life under capitalism. And that's what fucking Tate is taking advantage of, is these kids who are looking for a hack to get out of the trap. And yeah, we're going to talk about what he does next and how well it fucking works. And spoilers, we'll have an appearance from Alex Jones in part four, the final part of this glorious series. But first, Ian, Sophie, y'all got stuffs to plugs?
Ian, what do you have to plug? Anything?
Yeah, Ian.
I would say, just, you know, check out Internet Hate Machine. It's one of the other
more like Internet Tate Machine. Sorry, no, that's not right at all.
That's not what the show is about.
No, but it's not.
It's another Cool Zone Media show that I work on. It's a great show with Bridget Todd, really relevant and interesting topic about the hellscape that is social media right now. And I would also just say plug just being kind to others, you know, being a nice, respectful person in this world. It's life is already hard enough. It's free to not be an asshole. So I'd say that.
Wow. You say it's free to not be an asshole. But if you consider the fact that by not putting your mom and your child cousins to work, you're leaving money on the table, it actually can be extremely expensive not to be an asshole. You can hear more on my 9-hour series.
Robert, shut the
committing
fuck up.
Crimes using your family members as patsies, University.
Do I get to plug?
Sure,
Sophie.
Turn?
Okay, I want to plug two books that are available for pre-order right now. The first of which is Jamie Loftus's book about hot dogs called Raw Dog. It is available for pre-order. Go to her social meds for all that info. And also our very own Margaret Killjoy of Cool People Who Did Cool Stuff, which Ian also edits, has a book available for pre-sale also called Escape from Incel Island. And I would like to plug those two books. Check out both of their social meds to get info on that.
Bold and heroic of you, Sophie. And I want to plug my new business course, Crime Guy University, where I teach you how to take, you got a mom who's out of work, you got some young cousins. Look, you can monetize that shit through the simple, legal, easy method of getting them to sell heroin for you.
You know what's, now, you know what's really cool about people, this business though, Robert? That I get 80%.
Sophie does get 80%, which is why you should listen to Sophie's 16-hour course. That's card literally starting a cartel. This is sponsored by our friends at the Sinaloa cartel.
Yeah, Sinaloa Sophie, that's what we call
her.
Yeah,
Sinaloa Sophie, that's her nickname. Anyway.
We'll be back. Bye.
We'll be back, unfortunately.
Bye.
All right.
Behind the Bastards is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.